Session number 27052.
Mr. Franklin, reel 3. The next point would be when you went into, for the first time, into barracks, into Victory
Barracks.
Yeah,
we left Collingwood and went down, sent us down to the barracks.
Now, can you describe the Victory Barracks at Portsmouth? I know you weren't there.
Well, it's very red. I remember it being all these big buildings of red bricks. The dormitories were, I think I was on probably a second floor of a building, and they were quite long dormitories, quite a lot of men per dormitory. But all one did there, until one was drafted, was to sleep, go on parade, divisions, each thing, because you always had divisions in the morning, and then when you were, once your day was finished doing your divisions and very little else actually, kicking your heels, you just went ashore, as we called it, and went down into the town and down around the pubs.
So you were drinking by then, then?
Pardon?
You were drinking then?
Yeah, we used to go down the pub and have a drink in, what you call it, although I was just, as we were all in uniform, we weren't very often questioned about whether we were underage.
And what was it like in Portsmouth pubs then? If you know what I mean?
Oh, very happy atmosphere, actually. Very, the old sing-songs and what have you, and used to sit around the table. Eventually then I shouldn't have been as a boy seaman. You used to have cigarettes off the others and have a puff. Although I wasn't all that keen on smoking. I never was a great smoker then. Not so much as I had in later years.
Did you drink much?
No, very little. I don't think I ever got drunk.
So it was really just a couple of social pints?
Not as much as that, probably a half pint. The thing is, I was only getting half a crown a fortnight, you know, which was 12.5p now. That's 2 and 6 months a fortnight. As a boy seaman, you weren't allowed it.
Now, what would you spend your pay on?
As I say, I'd probably have a drink and cakes or something like that, you know, just odd bits. Not to go into a cafe and have a cup of tea and a cake, you know, which would, at that time, wasn't very much anyway. A few pence.
Now, what happened when you were drafted? What was the drafting procedure? Because you were drafted.
Well, you hear your name come over the intercom, which says, you know, ordinary or boy seaman or report to drafting office. And you went to drafting office and you got a draft chip. It's telling you that you, what ship you were going to. And you would just then go with the group and end up wherever you were going. This sort of happened when I went to the Nelson.
That was your thing. Now, you went to the Nelson in late April 44. You were with her till June 44. Now, where did you join the Nelson? Was she in Portsmouth?
Yeah, I went all the way. I got my draft yet, and they said we were going to a ship. They didn't say where or what ship. Anyway, we had to board a train, and we went all the way up to Scotland. And ended up in Rosyth, where she was being refitted with new gun turrets and everything else on her. They welded these Oerlikon on the superstructure, which I eventually ended up during D-Day landing in one of those. They were...
Now, hang on, we will come to that. Now, what were your first impressions of joining her? Because, I mean, she was an enormous ship.
I wonder, this massive ship I saw there, it was looked absolutely massive. He had these massive guns on it. And next to us was the Royal Sovereign. I believe she was being... what do they call it? I've lost the word now. Ready for to be turned over to the Russian Navy at that time. But Nelson just had her new guns fitted and all these alterations to the extra Oerlikons, anti-aircraft things on her. And
how did they receive you on board? What happened to you when you first went on board?
Well, straight away you were met by these petty officers who were the one that worked, who took you over and more or less become your mentor. And he's ushers you down, shows you where your mess deck's going to be, the boy seamen's mess deck, which they had, and which was down. We had, I remember in our mess deck, there was a porthole which looked just at the jetty. The jetty was there and the porthole just above it. And then we were put on the most menial tasks.
Now, what can you describe the boys' mess desk? It's very dim, you can't see them anymore. What was the mess deck like? What was it?
Well, a mess deck is just a place where you could how can I put it? Like a cabin of an old ancient metal beams, metal beams, hooks on the beams which you slung your hammocks on. A mess deck table, which was a trestle table fixed to the deck, long stools each either side. It was all, you just have to, the food, you had allocated job as a, you were a cook one day, you took turns of being cooked.
Stick to the sort of physical environment a minute. So, was it crowded?
Fairly, but not too, you know. It was quite. Being wartime, they carry a lot more men, and therefore it was a bit. The boys' mess deck wasn't too bad. I noticed that the others were even more crowded, but we were quite well spaced, enough room for our hammocks to sling our hammocks.
That's the next thing I was going to ask. Tell us about the hammocks. You may have had them at the Victory, but on the
no, you didn't have them until we went aboard ship. I didn't know.
Tell me, how did you get used to them, and what was the whole routine with it?
The routine is one of the first things you learned to do was make yourself a spreader. And that was a piece of wood to keep the ends of the hammock open each end. So you got a piece of wood and you put cleats in it to keep the hammock apart when you got into it. Otherwise, it just curled up round you. You were taught how to lash a hammock. That was a rope round to lash it up. So it was like a big cigar. Because in the emergency, the hammocks were used to bolster up a hole in the ship. Damage controls, they were used in damage controls. So when you weren't using them, they were all kept in. When you went into action, they were kept into a special place where they would get at them to use them for.
When you lashed them, how would you lash them up?
You'd lash them up with. I'll explain it verbally, that you went over, through, over, through. You know what I mean? Going down, down, down until you got the end and then you tied a knot on it. And then you threaded the two anchor ends, you threaded them through. So it was like a big cigar.
And where would you stow them? You'd have to stow them every morning, would
you? Yeah, you had to stow them in the hammock cage. They had like a cage that you kept the hammocks in. And all you had was a hammock, a blanket, and was what it felt like, corn filled mattress, a small tin mattress. They're very comfortable. I liked hammocks. I thought they were the most comfortable thing that you could sleep in.
Did you get used to them straight away, or did you have trouble with them at first? You know, there's the old joke of people falling.
I settled down quite easily, but some people weren't very happy with them at first. But eventually, you find they're so cosy and warm and comfortable. You get your blanket, and then you put your palliasse in it, whatever, for a better word, for the mattress. And you find it quite easy. It does take a little while to get used to. It's not a straightforward thing. You do get used to getting into the mountain. But one thing you learn, that you never, when you tied your end of your hammock onto the hook, you never left it in a bow. Because the old petty officer will come down to get you out in the morning, and he saw you had a bow, he would pull it, and you'd end up on the deck with a terrific crack. I made sure I never ever tied a bow in mine.
What knot would you use, if you remember? What knot would you use?
Two half-inches. A couple of half-inches right through. They're easy to open because you push the end and they just uncurl themselves, don't they?
What I'd like to do now is, and you said it off tape, but what about the status of boy seamen? And then what was your typical day like, the sort of duties you put on? But first, the status. What was the status?
About the lowest of the low of the Navy, I think. Right bottom, right down the bottom.
Why? I mean, was it just because you were the
young? No, you were boy seamen, so you had to be kept under control. And the youngsters, very young lads, weren't we? And they felt we had to learn discipline in their attitude was the hard way. I mean, some of us didn't need it, but a lot of them did need it, I suppose. But I think most of us were overawed with what we'd got and let ourselves in for. The volunteers, all those... there were a lot more volunteers than I realised at the time. But I was put to work.
Now, how was your day organised? What work would you...
Well, we were organised by a petty officer or leading seaman. And I spent most of my time before we started our sea trials on the Nelson after a refit, most of the time in the bilges or down below decks, chipping paint.
Tell us about that. What exactly were you doing? Explain exactly.
We would chip the paint off the bulkhead for repainting, and you had to chip it off, the old paint off, so as they could red lead it and repaint the bulkheads. That would be a paint on there, years of paint. I mean, that was launched in, what, 1926? The Nelson, 1925, 26, I think she was launched. It tells you now.
So whereabouts? You were in the...
Right down in the bottom bilges where they're... Not the actual bilges, but the lower decks, right on the lower decks. We chipped paint in there, and we were stripped naked. Because it was so hot down there. It was so hot. Very hot. And you'd be chipping paint. It was most...
So just with a chisel and a hammer?
Yes, a chipping hammer. You had a chipping hammer, a special hammer, which is made with a chipping end on it. And that went on and on all day long.
And how thick was the paint?
Oh, sometimes it was as much as a millimetre, a couple of millimetres thick, you know. And it'd really chip off. And you'd be doing this, probably about 8 or 10 of you in this place, and you'd be sweating. You were just like slaves. It was just like being a slave. we had to do that until...
Were you doing that all day?
All day, until we'd had breaks, and then we'd get a break. We'd do it for quite a while. I can't remember the exact time. It seemed ages down there, like everything does to young people, I suppose, when they're doing something. It seems a long job, doesn't it? Yeah, we were chipping paint, and then we'd go and have a break, and then we'd have lunch, and then we'd go back down again. And we'd usually finish about 3 o'clock, I believe, you know, we didn't have to... But then...
What other duties, or was that it for the day?
That was normally it for the day, or else we'd be scrubbing decks.
Well, tell me about scrubbing decks. How did you actually do it? Because
Well, we had a type of... scrubber brooms. They weren't ordinary. They were like brooms with a scrubbing brush type end on. And the Nelson, she had wooden decks. And they had to be hosed down. Oh, well, so we might with her. They had to be hosed down. And then there's someone there with a hose, and you just rolled down. That's why you had bell bottom. You had to roll them up and then someone would be there, and in salt water you would scrub a deck down. And that'd be another job you had to do, deck scrubbing. That was another boy seaman's job.
So what others? What other tasks might you have to do?
Well, you would cook. Sometimes you would cook the mess, so you had to...
Tell us about that. Tell us
yeah, you had to go up to the galley, as they called it, and collect the food in what we called a fanny.
You didn't have to prepare it at all, then?
No, not on the beach, no. You never had no preparation. No, that used to be collected from the galley in a fanny, as they called it, which was a big tin thing. Take that down and then serve it out. And you used to have to take turns at this. You know, you were allocated 2 cooks to that mess, and you took turns. So there's 10 of you. You only got it once of the cook once a week.
And what else did you have to do as cook of the mess, or was it just fetching it and then taking it
fetching
back?
Fetching it and then clearing it up afterwards, washing down the table, and cleared the mess up in general afterwards, you know.
Now, what was the food like on the Nelson?
Nelson, it was quite ordinary, not too bad, you know, just ordinary food that one gets. Can't remember exact menu that we had. We would have different things like stews or breakfast. You'd have herrings and tomato sauce was one of the favourite breakfast foods that we had.
Was it one of the favourites with you, or was it one of the most common?
Navy favourites, not the men's favourite. There's more tins of herrings in the Atlantic than there is in the shops today, I should imagine.
That's why I was asking, because they're not normally popular.
They weren't all that popular, no, lots of people. I quite like herrings in tomato sauce, believe it or not. Because I find it a little bit like salmon, I like tinned salmon. So.
Was there enough? I mean, did you get enough to eat?
Yes, we always got enough to eat, yeah, there's always enough to eat. Yeah, I found we were, well, it was for me. I don't know whether so what the others would always think. I can't talk for all of them, but for me it was always enough to eat. I always had enough to eat.
So what else were you doing as a boy seaman?
We also still had, you were still being taught things. You would have to go up on deck and you'd also have to do like, when we would go, I must tell at this point, we were never told what was happening to the ship. We never knew what happened and what was going to happen, where we were going, what we were doing. And I was sitting at the mess table, looking through the porthole, and suddenly saw the jetty going away from us. It wasn't a jetty going away from us, it was a ship leaving. We were going to sea, and that was the first time I'd ever been to sea. And I wonder what that was happening. And we prayed out and went under the fourth bridge. And they told us to keep inside, don't go out on deck, because if a train went over, people threw pennies out of trains for luck or something over the fourth bridge. And it would, if one of those hit you on the edge, it would cut your head open. So we were told to keep inside. But yeah, so that went, then when we got out to sea, we were put on jobs such as, they used to use paravanes. Have you heard of paravanes?
That's all about that, then.
The paravanes.
Explain what they are and what you did with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, paravanes were mine, for cutting mines. They were on cables that were lowered over the side. And they were the shape of an aeroplane, really. And they had a jagged edge on them, which cut cables. And these were floated out away from each side of the ship. And they would cut the cable of a mine that was anchored to the bottom. And they would slide along the cable away from the ship and be cut and would come to the surface. Would cut the cable as it hit it with the ship going along. They were called paravanes, PVs for shortening, but they were paravanes.
And what did you have to do with them?
Well, we had to help with the cable and help to lower them over the side. And
how was it done?
It's all held onto the cable and lowered away, you know, and eased it down as it went down. And then they had to be put round the capstan and pulled back up again afterwards and brought aboard to be lowered down and replaced where they should be on the deck, you know.
What else were you doing? This first time at sea.
Well, as I say, if a cable, you would mostly spend most of the time, as I say, each day, wash it down. They would wash the deck down nearly every day. I don't know why, because it used to get washed down with the waves coming over the belt. You're always doing that. They always had to keep you busy. And I can understand today why, but then you used to think, why am I continuously doing the same thing over and over and over again, you know? But it was just necessary to keep discipline going, you know.
Did you get seasick at all your first time?
I was very lucky. I felt a little bit queasy, but I never really got seasick. I was one of the lucky ones that never suffered from seasickness, not even on the small boats.
Did any of them get seasick?
Oh, yes. Not so bad on the Nelson, they weren't, because she was quite big, and she was all right while she was rolling, because rolling is not so bad. It's when a ship starts pitching. When she's sailing into the wind over the waves, that is the worst part. I mean, you'll be walking along the deck and you'll suddenly be walking on air because the ship's gone away from you and you're still walking forward. And eventually you know, that's counteracted and automatically go down. But when you first get to sea, you'll find the most awful things that appear to be happening to you. You wonder what the devil it's all about, you know.
Now, how was your day organised? I mean, did you have watches like the men did? Or
yeah, we had...
How did the watches work for the boys?
Well, the boys didn't go on watches.
That's what I thought, yeah.
No, we didn't go on watches. We were just... we did have watches. We had port and starboard watch. And you had... So if you were port watch, you were allowed ashore, or you'd be duty watch. So you're either off watch or duty watch. So if you were port watch and it was starboard watch off, then starboard watch went ashore, but you had to stay on board and reverse around for the, like normally or a day about. So.
Now what would you, if you were on watch, what would your duties be? Is this when you'd be lookouts and things?
Well, probably... Unless you were at sea, you'd have different jobs such as lookouts or just ordinary cleaning up mess decks, corridors, as I had, and all that sort of thing. Now, washing down paint.
We've done most of that. What about what lookout duty? Tell me about lookout duty then.
Well, lookout duty, I didn't do that with the Nelson, though, myself. I think there's some I have done. But you were just on, you went on the bridge and you had binoculars.
And you didn't do it?
But I didn't do it on the Nelson, no. I did do it on the smaller ships, but not on the...
So what's the next thing you remember about the time on the Nelson? Where were you going? You went out in the fourth.
Well, eventually we went out. We did gunnery, they did firings, trying out the guns.
What was it like when the guns fired?
Well, when the big guns fired, you were supposed to be... inside. You weren't allowed to be outside when the 16-inch fired. Later on, we could probably come to that during the Normandy landings. But they were tremendous. They were, if you were outside, they would not get out because you had about 18 feet of cordite behind a shell that was as tall as myself, about 5 foot somewhat high. 16 inches is quite a big shell, tremendously. They used to come up on hoists and down through into the turret.
And did you have an action station as a boy?
Not until eventually, when we went down to Normandy landing,
okay,
I was given.
Okay. What happened next then? So you did your firing trial, your gun.
Yeah, done all the trials, and then we went, after the trials, we went down to Milford Haven, ready for the. Normandy landings, and we were in Milford Haven. That's where we hid up, in Milford Haven.
Were you doing anything there?
No, we were just kicking our heels, really.
Would this be round about May, I presume, then?
Pardon?
Would this be round about May, 44?
Towards the end of May, yes, be towards the end of May. We went down to Milford Haven. We went in there for a couple of days, I believe, and waited for our escorts, I believe. We had to have the escorts to take us over to the landings, to the bombarding. We were allowed ashore, but everywhere was shut. With a battleship coming into Milford Haven Harbour with about 1,800 men on, they didn't fancy us at all. You couldn't blame them. Pubs were shut, cinemas were shut, dance hall, everything was shut down. They weren't going to welcome us very much. Very dead in Milford Haven at that time. And then I presumed it was just before D-Day, we must have, or just on the early day D-Day, we headed for the beaches for sure, towards France. We picked up, there were two of these, they were.
Destroyer escorts.
Two of those DEs. They were both sunk. They sunk eventually, or both torpedoed, or hit mine. But they looked like motorboats when I was on the Nelson beside us. They would look so small, and I thought, what's that escorting us? A couple of torpedo boats. They looked so small, and yet they were quite big, really. And that was when I was told I would be on number 2 Oerlikon. on the superstructure.
Now, tell me exactly what you were doing on number two organ.
I was the number two on the organ, which was the ammunition loader.
Now, what did that mean?
Well, I put the magazine onto the gun as they emptied, took one off and slapped another one on while the chap continuously fired, while the number one continuously fired it.
And where was your Oerlikon on the ship?
On the superstructure of the... on the main superstructure, just below the wheelhouse.
Which side?
Yeah, we were on the starboard side. High on the superstructure. Just under, on the bridge, that's on the
ship. Were you actually loading the bullets in, or just passing
No,
about?
You just had magazines. They were magazines with about...
Who was loading the magazines, or was that... You just had a big...
No, they were store of them there. They were a box. There was a magazine there where you took them out, put them on.
How did you put them on?
They lodged... They had like a catch on them. And you just picked them up. They were very heavy, actually. There was loads of rounds in there. You picked them up, and I, being very short, I found it very hard work. Picked them up, you latch in the front, and then clamp the back down in. And they're quite round, about so big round.
And you were told this was going to be your action station?
Yeah, I would be on that gun.
So what happened next, then?
I was with a leading seaman on that gun, and on action stations, I had to go up a metal ladder, which was quite a way up, over the side and into the gun turret that was there. It wasn't an actual turret, it was a pod, a gun pod.
What do you mean?
It's a round bit stuck on the side, you know, just on the side.
How high up?
We must have been about, I don't know how high they were, I suppose 20, 25 feet, quite high up.
And what happened next? What happened?
Well, we were quite close to the intercom where we could hear the reports of when aircraft were coming in to that, and we used to hear them saying, you know, aircraft coming in at a certain angle, and we were dive bombed by Stukas at one time. And
was that after you'd got to Normandy?
Yeah, after we'd been bombarding.
Well, we'll do the bombarding first. You said, yeah. What could you see when you hoved up off the coast?
Well, when we went to go, all I can remember to me, which stuck out in my mind, to the left was a cliff and a wood. Across to the beach was this building which stuck in my mind, was painted pink. And I think it had one, two, three or four stories. And that place stuck in my mind, you know.
And do you know which beach you were off? You don't.
We were off. What was that beach now? Gold. We were the one farthest to the left. Which beach was that?
Sword Beach.
Must be Sword Beach. We were next door, yeah, Sword Beach, because the Americans were on Gold. We were on Sword Beach. We were just off Sword Beach.
That's what you could see. Could you see the effect of your fire?
No. Our range was somewhere around about 20 miles. We were actually at one time bombarding Le Havre. Now, that's when I got injured.